Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker, Trent Horn. On Monday, March 15th, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith released a dubium, which is a response to a question. In this case, it was on the question of bishops or priests blessing same-sex unions. And so the CDF, which was the document was also signed off by Pope Francis, said that no, not only does the church not do this, it cannot do this. And so they released an entire explanation related to this, and some of it's been covered in mainstream media outlets, Washington Post, CNN, much to the chagrin of people outside of the church and, frankly, some people inside of the church who had probably been hoping that Pope Francis will make a radical change to teaching the church's teaching on homosexuality, or at least if not a radical change, I think many of them were hoping that the Pope would usher in something that would that a way to get the camel's nose under the tent. So I think most people, except for the far radical left, did not think that Pope Francis was just going to single-handedly, with the stroke of a pen, change the church's teachings on the morality of same-sex behavior. I think what they were hoping to do is part of their long game to try to get this behavior accepted in the church. And by the way, it's very apropos that we're talking about this, because I just did that whole series on Matthew Vines. God, you know, he wrote that book, God and the Gay Christian. I rebutted that entire video he did where he claims the Bible does not condemn so-called modern same-sex relationships. If you haven't seen that, be sure to go to the Council of Trent YouTube page to go and check it out there. It's about a three-hour rebuttal. I covered it in some of the podcast episodes, but the whole rebuttal is available on our Council of Trent YouTube page. Go there, click subscribe. And by the way, if you want to help us to make even more rebuttal videos, consider becoming a premium subscriber at TrenthornPodcast.com. So it's really helpful. Well, I mean, I don't know if it's helpful, but it's appropriate. This is happening right now because what Vines is arguing about in the evangelical church, there are all kinds of Catholic so-called theologians and LGBT revisionists in the Catholic Church, New Ways Ministry be one of these people, who would love to try to change the church's teaching to say, oh, turns out we've got a new understanding of homosexuality and this teaching is no longer valid anymore. Of course, it wouldn't just be that. You would undermine all teachings related to sexual ethics and the human person as a whole if you were to do that. But you'll see these different kinds of arguments. And I think the people who promoted this view did not actually think Pope Francis would just say, oh, never mind, I'm just going to completely change this, but that he would give them an opportunity so they have an inroad. And they see this as a long game, really, something that they hope in the next 50 or 100 years, the church would, you know, they can't change overnight, but you start with baby steps to change the church's teaching on something like homosexuality. And for them, you would start not with the behavior, but to say, oh, well, we're just blessing these same-sex unions. We're not blessing the activity they're engaging in. We're blessing the people. We're recognizing the goodness of their relationship. And I think a lot of them see this, would have seen that as kind of a stepping stone towards the church fully permitting sexual behavior between two men and two women. So they were dealt a crushing rebuke today with the release of this CDF document. So what I want to do is read through the document and offer some of my thoughts on it. Before I do that, though, I want to bring up, this is a graphic that I showed in my rebuttal video for Matthew Vines. It's a Pew Forum poll. I think it goes back to 2017. And it talks about people's Catholic attitudes towards the issue of homosexuality. And this is going to be the giant fight that we will have over the next 100 years, more so than abortion. I think the only issue that's harder than this, honestly, is the issue of contraception. It is truly... what's the word I'm looking for here? It's just abundantly sad to see how many people reject the church's teaching on contraception. I think that's the hardest one. America Magazine, to their credit, actually, did an article promoting natural family planning instead of contraception, and they got a ton of blowback on their Facebook page and Twitter from all of the Catholics with an asterisk next to their name because they show up at Christmas and Easter. They don't believe in the real presence. They see nothing wrong with abortion, contraception, homosexuality, saying things like, you know, America Magazine has lost its way. I would say that that's baby steps for America Magazine to find its way again after they published an article a year or two ago called The Catholic Case for for Communism by Dean Detloff, which I wrote a rebuttal to, by the way, at Catholic.com. But in my video, I talked about just how much so-called, you know, well, homosexual behavior is accepted in society. Among Catholics under the age of 30, 85% of them say homosexuality should be accepted. Now, that could be a reference to the person. Of course, the person should always be accepted, but not necessarily the behavior. But in every age group, all Catholic, if you put all Catholics together, it's about 70% say homosexuality should be accepted. So this is going to be the big fight that we'll have, and you're going to keep hearing these things. And when I read online, it's interesting. It was fascinating to look at social media after it was released, because normally social media is a big fan of Pope Francis. Like when he said about homosexuality, who am I to judge? You remember that? All over social media, he's the Pope for LGBT. He's great. Now you go on social media, especially on Twitter, it's just boo. They're absolutely not happy with this at all, because they don't want just more of a pastoral concern. It's not that those who identify and support the LGBTQ movement, it's not like they say, we wish the Catholic Church was more pastoral. That's not what they want. What they want is the Catholic Church to stop being Catholic, to stop teaching the depositive faith that was handed on by Jesus and the apostles 2,000 years ago. That's what they want. And so we have to meet that head on. And we have to always remember, by the way, that evangelism is not a popularity contest. There's two extremes. Some people, you know, say, I don't care if people get offended. That's your problem. Well, we should try to present the truth in as inoffensive a way as possible. So I think what we need to focus on is what St. Paul says in Ephesians 4:15, to speak the truth in love. If a person's going to be offended, we want them to be offended not by us, our character, our vocabulary, the tone that we use. If they're going to be offended, we want the truth to be that which offends them, but then hopefully ultimately convicts them and brings them to repentance and the joy of the gospel. So with that said, I want to jump into what the CDF said. I'm going to read through the response they gave in the Dubium and then add some of my thoughts to that. So it begins, in some ecclesial contexts, plans and proposals for blessings of unions of persons of the same sex are being advanced. Such projects are not infrequently motivated by a sincere desire to welcome and accompany homosexual persons to whom are proposed paths of growth in faith, so that those who manifest a homosexual orientation can receive the assistance they need to understand and fully carry out God's will in their lives. Now, it doesn't say where these plans are being advanced. This is probably a reference to the German Catholic Church. Some of the bishops there have proposed blessings for these same-sex unions. This is an article from New Ways Ministry, a pro-LGBT group that would absolutely love to change the church's teaching on homosexuality. Now, in this article from a year ago, January 2020, it says, German Cardinal Key Bishop endorsed church blessings for LGBTQ couples. Two leaders of the German Bishops' Conference have offered support for church blessings of same-gender couples. Cardinal Reinhard Marx of Munich and Freising stated in an interview that same-gender couples could receive a church blessing, reported Katholisch.Deutsch, I think that's a German Catholic newspaper. So it goes on to say, according to Marx, homosexual couples can receive a blessing in the sense of pastoral care in the Catholic Church, but no marriage-like relationship is blessed with this, he said in an interview with Stern on Monday. Marriage is also not possible. So he says, you know, they can't get married, but we can bless them. It's interesting. He says, I get criticism for this from some sides, said the Archbishop. Some say it goes too far. Others, it doesn't go far enough. So we can see that the Germans are proposing this, and the German Catholic Church is a constant source of worry, probably for Pope Francis and everybody else and the things that they are proposing. It's sad. It's absolutely sad to see what it's become of the Catholic Church in Germany. What's remarkable is that as mass attendance has plummeted, the German Catholic Church's revenue has steadily increased, because the German Catholic Church benefits, like other churches in Germany, benefits from the church tax. So if you're a German citizen, on your taxes, you say what church you go to. You select it, and then 8 to 9% of your income goes to the church. If you're a Catholic who does not designate the Catholic Church in your tax form, you're denied access to the sacraments, which I think is absolutely outlandish. And now the church is getting what they paid for, basically, in being so intimately tied with the state And instead of allowing people to give, I mean, St. Paul in his letter to the Corinthians made it clear, God loves a cheerful giver. I do not compel you. You know, the German Catholic Church is basically compelling people through the church tax. And you're seeing the awful fruits that are coming from how the church is being managed there. So including blessings for same-sex couples. Well, we're not trying to change the teaching on marriage, but it is certainly starting us down that path to do that. So the CDF is referencing this probably obliquely. It goes on to talk about why someone would do this. It says, on such paths, listening to the word of God, prayer, participation in ecclesial liturgical actions, and the exercise of charity can play an important role in sustaining the commitment to read one's own history and to adhere with freedom and responsibility to one's baptismal call, because God loves every person and the church does the same, rejecting all unjust discrimination. Of course, this is a reference to paragraphs 2357 through 2358 of the Catechism that talk about the issue of homosexuality. And it says in there that people who have same-sex attractions should be accepted and not subject to unjust discrimination. But the key word here is unjust. And this will come up later in the Dubium, because it's good it doesn't say discrimination, because discrimination is not a bad thing. Discrimination is not intrinsically evil. If you're hiring two people for a job and one of them has never performed the skills necessary for the job and the other is an expert in those skills, then you discriminate, you make a choice. That's all discrimination is. You're making a choice. You pick the person who is more qualified. That would be just discrimination. But let's say you had two people applying, one who is very skilled, the other who is not skilled at all. And the person who is not skilled at all gets the job because they're white, and the employer just doesn't like black people, for example, and doesn't hire the black individual who's very skilled at the job. There's actually an episode of That's So Raven, where Raven doesn't get the job at the mall, even though she's more qualified than her white friend, because the employer is racist. How do I know that? I watch a lot of YouTube, okay? So the point is that not all discrimination is bad. Unjust discrimination is bad. To give you another example, if a doctor refused to treat a gunshot victim because he identifies as gay, or a woman who identifies as a lesbian, or someone who identifies as transgender, refuses to treat that person of their gunshot injuries just because of their identification, that would be unjust discrimination. But it would be just discrimination if you have a doctor who treats fertility, who is helping a man and a woman to conceive a child through licit means, but refuses to help two men or two women to conceive a child because he considers that a disordered understanding of procreation and where children should come to be, and that children should only come from the marital act. That would not be unjust discrimination. So when we're talking about accepting those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, queer, whatever it may be, it's important to focus on the church prohibits unjust discrimination, not discrimination in itself, which means that there can be blessings, obviously, for married couples. Now, you could even have a blessing for an engaged couple, provided that the couple is not engaging in fornication or something like that, but you're blessing them because they are continuing on the path towards marriage. As long as there's nothing sinful about the relationship itself, you might bless an engaged couple to spiritually prepare them for entering into the sacrament of matrimony. But you cannot provide, the CDF is clear, you cannot provide the same kind of blessing for a same-sex couple or for any other similar kind of a sinful relationship. So then the document goes on to talk about the nature of blessings and where they fit into the church. It says, among the liturgical actions of the church, the sacramentals have a singular importance. A blessing, remember, is a sacramental. These are sacred signs that resemble the sacraments. They signify effects, particularly of a spiritual kind, which are obtained through the church's intercession. By them, men are disposed to receive the chief effect of the sacraments, and various occasions of life are sanctified. So I think the most popular sacramental probably in the church worldwide would be making the sign of the cross. That's something that prepares us to receive the grace and the sacraments. And the Catechism is very clear. The document goes on to say, sacramentals do not confer the grace of the Holy Spirit in the way that the sacraments do. But by the church's prayer, they prepare us to receive grace and dispose us to cooperate with it. It's quoting paragraph 1670. So if you receive a blessing, that's not the same as receiving absolution in confession, for example. But sacramentals, and there's a wide variety of them in the church we can avail ourselves of, they prepare us. They spiritually prepare us like wearing a scapular or receiving a blessing. There's something that makes us more disposed to receive grace in the sacraments, like the Eucharist, confirmation, absolution, things like that. Blessings belong to the category of the sacramentals, whereby the Church, quote, calls us to praise God, encourages us to implore His protection, and exhorts us to seek His mercy by our holiness of life. In addition, blessings have been established as a kind of imitation of the sacraments. Blessings are signs, above all, of spiritual effects that are achieved through the Church's intercession. Okay, so now we know what a blessing is. A blessing is important because it fits within an entire sacramental economy. A blessing or a sacramental is not a sacrament itself. That's kind of the on-ramp. It prepares us to be able to fully receive them. That's important because we're called to be properly disposed when we receive the sacraments, whether it's confirmation, Eucharist, when you go to confession, you have to actually be contrite. If you're not sorry for your sins, the absolution is not valid. We need to be prepared to receive the sacraments. You might say, well, how is a baby prepared to receive the sacraments? Like my, you know, infant son, John Paul, was baptized, confirmed, and received his first Eucharist. Well, he was prepared through the faith of Laura and I, that when babies are baptized, the preparation lies in the faith of the parents, who then eventually transmit that faith to the child when they enter the age of reason. All right, so we understand the role of blessings, why they're important, which is why the CDF goes on to say, consequently, in order to conform with the nature of sacramentals, when a blessing is invoked on particular human relationships, in addition to the right intention of those who participate, this is important here, it is necessary that what is blessed be objectively and positively ordered to receive and express grace. I'll repeat that again because this is an important part of the CDF document. It is necessary that what is blessed be objectively and positively ordered to receive and express grace, according to the designs of God inscribed in creation and fully revealed by Christ the Lord. Therefore, only those realities which are in themselves ordered to serve those ends are congruent with the essence of the blessing imparted by the Church. So because of that, then the CDF label gives its answer, saying, for this reason, it is not licit or lawful to impart a blessing on relationships or partnerships, even stable, that involves sexual activity outside of marriage. So this is a broader stance here. It's not just same-sex unions, but it's any relationship that involves sexual activity outside of marriage. I would say this would also apply to marriages contracted after divorce, in which the previous marriage was not annulled. Those relationships cannot be blessed if they involve sexual activity outside of the original marriage bond. So it says outside of marriage, i.e. the indissoluble union of a man and a woman open in itself to the transmission of life. That is what marriage is. As is the case of the unions between persons of the same sex. I mentioned this a little in my Matthew Vines video, by the way. I don't believe the word union is that appropriate. I've talked about civil unions before, but I absolutely cannot stand that term. I've talked about legal households, whatever it may be. The word union implies an actual coming together, so two separate individuals become one in an important sense. In the sexual act, a man and woman truly do become one flesh, as Genesis chapter 2 tells us. But two men and two women cannot form a union. Body parts inside other body parts are not a union. When a surgeon puts his hand in my abdomen to fix me, he does not form a union with me. Union is more than just combining body parts. So union here might also be talking about just legal unions, but I still don't like the language as being ambiguous. But I like the message here is very clear. The presence in such relationships of positive elements, which are in themselves to be valued and appreciated, cannot justify these relationships and render them legitimate objects of an ecclesial blessing. Since the positive elements exist within the context of a union not ordered to the Creator's plan. So even if there are positive elements, and it is important in a pastoral sense, if you're reaching out to someone who identifies as gay, for example, they're in a sexual relationship with another person, what the Church is asking them to do, the Church is not asking them to just rebuke this other person in their life and never speak to this individual again. That may be what is most healthy for them in that relationship, and that'd be the same thing with a man and a woman in a toxic or unhealthy relationship. But what it's saying is that you're caring for someone who is ill, you're providing companionship, you're providing conversation abating loneliness with someone. That is not bad. What is bad is engaging our sexual faculties outside of the marriage bond. That is what is bad. So if you can have a relationship with someone of the same sex without those sexual proclivities, that can be a good thing. Now, in some relationships, you're just going to have to essentially quit cold turkey. They're too much of a stumbling block in that area. Though I do know other people, two men, for example, who were previously in a sexual relationship, who now have a platonic relationship, and they claim to have a platonic relationship, living in the same home together. Hopefully they are. Different people have to follow the different paths ahead of them to see what is what will lead to sin, what is an occasion of sin, what isn't. And so while I wouldn't recommend these kinds of cohabiting platonic relationships for two men, two women, or even for a man and a woman, they're far superior to sexually immoral relationships. But here's the passage I want to focus on, a union not ordered to the Creator's plan. Think back to the Catechism, where it says that sexual relationships between two men or two women are intrinsically disordered, is a language that is used. And some people are not happy about that language. One of them, surprise, surprise, is Father James Martin. This was an interview he gave with I think it's Religion Newswire several years ago after his book, Building a Bridge, came out. And so he's talking about how to reach out to people who identify as gay or lesbian. And so the interviewer asked Father Martin, the Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches that homosexual acts are intrinsically disordered. Do you affirm and agree with this teaching and language? Notice Father Martin's response here. He says, I'm no theologian, but, which always is starting you off on a bad path and an answer. Instead, you could say, well, the theologians say, the theologians of the CDF say, I'm no theologian, but, which I think is also a way for him to dodge if somebody calls him out on his answer. Father Martin, by the way, is a pro at this, of giving an answer, but always having an escape route if his answer is criticized. Oh, I'm not making a theological definition here, people. I'm just offering a pastoral definition. I'm no theologian, but I would say that some of the language used in the catechism on that topic needs to be updated, given what we know about homosexuality. Earlier, for example, the catechism says that the homosexual orientation is itself objectively disordered. But as I say in the book, saying that one of the deepest parts of a person, the part that gives and receives love, is disordered is needlessly hurtful. A few weeks ago, I met an Italian theologian who suggested the phrase differently ordered might convey that idea more pastorally. No, if anything, it confuses the idea. Differently ordered, to say that something is differently ordered just means, oh, okay, you can put it together in a different way and it's fine. Like I've been buying for my kids Lego sets. My Matt is 6, Thomas is 4, they love Legos. And I could say with the Legos, there's actually these 3-in-1 sets. So you can put the Legos together to make a dragon, or there's also plans to put it together to make like a race car. They're differently ordered, But if my kids put Legos up their nose, that is an intrinsically disordered use of the Lego. That's not where the Lego goes. And, then you have to get it out of there and all that. Not saying that's happened, but I'm saying if it did happen, that's an intrinsically disordered use of your Legos. They don't go up your nose like that. So to say it's differently ordered, that confuses it, that the sexual act to engage in genital stimulation outside of the marital act is not just differently ordering our sexual faculties, it's intrinsically disordering them. It's putting them towards an definite improper end. And so what he says here, saying the deepest part of a person, the part that gives and receives love, the part that gives and receives love is the deepest part of our person. You don't have to be sexually attracted to someone or anyone to give and receive love. But our sexual faculties, our sexual powers, if you will, to Dr. Jay Budachevsky has a wonderful several books on sexual ethics. He talks about our sexual powers. For I'd say the vast majority of people, they are disordered because people have natural desires towards sexually immoral relationships. And those desires are broken. We're all broken, sinful people. And so to try to downplay the harms of those disordered desires only ends up further harming the people who are tempted by them. So let's go back then to the CDF's document saying, furthermore, since blessings on persons are in relationship with the sacraments, the blessing of homosexual unions cannot be considered licit. This is because they would constitute a certain imitation or analog of the nuptial blessing invoked on the man and woman united in the sacrament of matrimony. While in fact, there are absolutely no grounds for considering homosexual unions to be in any way similar or even remotely analogous to God's plan for marriage and family. So if priests offered blessings to same-sex couples, and even if they had the qualifier, this is not for the immoral part of your relationship. This is to bless the positive parts and to encourage you. The sheer optics of it would create such an absolute scandal, saying, see, the church doesn't really think sex outside of the marriage bond between a man and a woman is bad. Doesn't really think it's bad. Otherwise, it wouldn't bless these people. That'd be like saying, we're going to bless this sandwich shop, even though we know it is a front for the mafia, because there's nothing sinful about making sandwiches for people. I actually once lived in a town where there was this totally run-down sandwich shop. I always thought about going there, but it looked absolutely scary. And I never saw anyone go in there to order sandwiches, by the way. Yet it was still in business. So I think there was some dirty money propping it up. But imagine if the church blessed that. We know that they do drugs and kill people, but hey, sandwiches are moral. Feeding the hungry is a corporal work of mercy. Well, no. You can't, even if there's a positive element there, if it's wrapped up, if it's so positively intertwined with these negative sinful elements, you can't separate them to bless it in that way. The declaration of the unlawfulness of blessings of unions between persons of the same sex is not, therefore, it is not intended to be a form of unjust discrimination. Remember, if someone says, well, you said a blessing for that engaged couple, Father, why won't you say a blessing for this same-sex couple? That's discrimination. No, it's not, because this engaged, non-married man and woman are one, not fornicating. As far as we know, that's what they have pledged. They just want to be strengthened with a blessing as they pursue their preparation for the sacrament of matrimony. The blessing fits in with the sacrament of matrimony in that case. Two men or two women can never receive the sacrament of matrimony. They can never do that. So the blessing does not prepare them for anything. It only seeks to confuse the faithful observing it and to confuse, frankly, the couple, the two men or two women who are seeking out that blessing, to confuse them and draw them away from the repentance that they need to be able to come into full communion with the church in spite of any disordered desires that they may have. So, but rather a reminder of the truth of the liturgical rite and of the very nature of the sacramentals as the church understands them. The Christian community and its pastors are called to welcome with respect and sensitivity persons with homosexual inclinations, and will know how to find the most appropriate ways, consistent with church teaching, to proclaim to them the gospel in its fullness. At the same time, they should recognize the genuine nearness of the church, which prays for them, accompanies them, and shares their journey of Christian faith, and receive the teachings with sincere openness. So, people, now it's interesting when you go online, the people who are part of more of a liberal persuasion, Catholic and secular, are not happy about this, saying you're not welcoming at all. Well, there are ways that you can welcome those who identify with this sexual behavior without welcoming the behavior. There was actually Mother Teresa's Sisters of Charity back in the 80s were running a hospice for AIDS victims. And they did so even in the face of great pressure from the community saying they didn't want those kinds of people there because they worried that, what if I got AIDS in the air around this hospice? People didn't really know a lot about it at that time. And so you see that outreach there without saying, no, we're not going to treat you because you got AIDS, it's your fault. We're always going to express compassion and sympathy and respect for all people, but we're not going to respect everyone's behaviors. We want to save people from behaviors that will cause them to live apart from God for all eternity. So it was funny when I went online to see what people thought about this. Like, this was on social media, which, by the way, I've been fasting with social media, but I don't know. My fast is really broken because I want to see what people are saying. I just don't post on social media. I'll probably do an episode after Easter where I'll talk about what my social media fast has taught me. But I will say this. I don't know. I don't think I'm ever going to go back to posting, engaging in back and forth posts on social media. I might use social media to announce what I do. But it's still a time suck for me, and I'm not even posting right now. So to be free of the time suck of social media, I think will be a blessing to me. But I love this here on Twitter. It had the news item of Vatican says Catholic Church cannot bless same-sex unions in new decree. Their stock art is St. Peter's Basilica at night with gray clouds behind it. It almost should have had like a musical tone to it. Dun, dun, dun. So, I mean, it's just funny to see how people who once lauded Pope Francis, you can't really put Pope Francis in a box. His very conservative critics and very liberal critics have always tried to do this, and you can't. He always surprises you. He's a surprising individual, that's for sure. So the CDF goes on to say, the answer to the proposed dubium does not preclude the blessings given to individual persons with homosexual inclinations who manifest the will to live in fidelity to the revealed plans of God as proposed by church teaching. So the members of a same-sex couple could receive a blessing, but as individuals, not as a couple. And if they've made it manifest, they are choosing to live in conformity with the church's teachings on sexuality. So this is not saying, oh, if you have same-sex attractions, you can never receive a blessing. That's not the case at all. A person who is striving for chastity with these attractions in a world that tells them they're crazy for doing that needs all of the spiritual help that they can get. But what people don't need are confused blessings for same-sex unions that make people think that sexual activity within those relationships is not sinful, because it is. Rather, it declares illicit any form of blessing that tends to acknowledge their unions as such. So, for example, if you have friends who are in a same-sex, so-called same-sex marriage, same-sex relationship, and let's say they're close family members, how do you interact with them? What do you do if you want to maintain lines of communication to help witness to them, to be there for them? One thing I recommend is around the holidays or birthdays or anniversaries to not get them gifts as a couple, not one gift as a couple, but to give them gifts, for example, and affirmations to each individual, to affirm them as an individual, not as belonging to this sinful union or sinful relationship. In fact, the blessing would manifest not the intention to entrust such individual persons to the protection and help of God in the sense mentioned above, but these so-called same-sex blessings, but to approve and encourage a choice and a way of life that cannot be recognized as objectively ordered to the revealed plans of God. The use of the word choice in here is interesting. So I go over to Twitter's CNN, always a hoot, and this is what they said about it. A Vatican statement says the Catholic Church won't bless same-sex unions, calling homosexuality a sin and a choice. Pope Francis, who has frequently been praised for his welcoming tone towards LGBTQ people, approved the note. Dun, dun, dun. So notice the, and of course, par for the course for CNN, the inaccuracy here, or at least that this is highly misleading. Vatican statement says the Catholic Church won't bless same-sex unions, calling homosexuality a sin and a choice. But that is not what the document said. The document is not saying that sexual orientation, that having same-sex attraction, that one chooses to have these attractions. Go all the way back to the Catechism when it first was released back in 1994. The Catechism's always been affirmed in saying that the psychological genesis of same-sex attractions is unknown. The church doesn't give an answer on where they come from because that's a scientific question. The church has never said that same-sex sexual attractions arise as a choice. What it says is our behavior, what we choose to do with our attractions, is a choice. So you go back to the document, but to approve and encourage a choice and a way of life, it's talking here about being in a sexual relationship with a person of the same sex, not having the attraction. So thanks, CNN, for always proving you are what you are. And so the document closes by saying, at the same time, the church recalls that God himself never ceases to bless each of his pilgrim children in this world, because for him, we are more important to God than all of the sins that we commit. But he does not and cannot bless sin. He blesses sinful man so that he may recognize that he is part of God's plan of love and allow himself to be changed by him. He, in fact, I love this quote, takes us as we are, but never leaves us as we are. That's an important message when it comes to evangelism, repentance, and becoming a new creation in Christ. You are never too bad for the gospel. You're never too bad for God. Some people say, I've done horrible things. God can never love me. That is a lie from the devil. No matter what you have done, God is ready to make you a new creation in Christ. God takes us as we are, but never leaves us as we are. In 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10, Paul talks about, remember my Matthew Vines rebuttal, who will not inherit the kingdom of God? Drunkards, revilers, greedy, thieves, adulterers, sexually immoral persons, people who engage in same-sex relationships. But 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, as such were some of you, but you were sanctified. You were washed. You were sanctified in Jesus Christ. God takes us as we are, but never leaves us as we are. Who said that? Pope Francis. So I love that the CDF statement includes this message from one of Pope Francis's general audiences. For the above-mentioned reasons, the church does not have and cannot have the power to bless unions of persons of the same sex in the sense intended above. This passage reminds me a little bit of Pope St. John Paul II's apostolic letter, Ordinatio Sacerdotalis, which was on reserving the priesthood to men. In there, he said, "I declare that the church has no authority whatsoever to confer priestly ordination on women, and that this judgment is to be definitively held by all the church's faithful." So the Pope is saying this belongs to the church's ordinary and universal magisterium, so it's infallible because it's been universally taught by the bishops with the intent of it being infallible. But Ordinatio Sacerdotalis is not an infallible statement. It's not like when Pope Pius XII infallibly defined Mary's bodily assumption into heaven. This is not, Ordinatio is not infallible, but it's reaffirming that the teaching of the priesthood being reserved to men is an infallible teaching. So now Pope Francis, the CDF is not making that same kind of declaration with the same kind of strength here, but notice the language: the church does not have and cannot have the power to bless unions of persons of the same sex in the sense intended above. So I hope that was a helpful explainer on the subject. It's going to come up a lot more because this is one of the big wedges in our society. And there's people who identify as Catholic who would like to change the church's teaching on this subject. And we have to engage them graciously yet persuasively on this issue. And so I hope that this podcast will help you to be able to do that. Thank you guys so much for listening. Be sure to leave a review on iTunes or Google Play. If you're watching it on YouTube, if you're not watching on YouTube, go to YouTube, click subscribe, leave a comment below the YouTube feed. We'd love to read those. Thank you guys so much, and I hope you have a very blessed day.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.